Now, an absolute pleasure to welcome our next guest into the Counting House section of the Business Bunker Show. We have the delightfully gorgeous, lovely, newly texted phone number of...
Because she's always late.
Because she's always late. And I go, where are you? Where are you? Where are you? Nettie Bunn.
Good afternoon.
Hello, Nettie. How are you?
I'm very good. You?
I'm very well, thank you. Good. And you have very kindly brought along with you this afternoon.
I always bring you a really, really good...
You bring
good
us the day. Best.
I do.
We certainly have the best this afternoon. You brought us along the lovely Nadine Monks. Hello, Nadine.
Hi there.
You're going to need to get quite close to that purpley thing.
Closer.
And Nadine is from Evolution Forces Families.
Yes, that's right.
Fantastic.
And it's a radio debut again.
Oh, is it?
You know how I'm always doing this.
Yeah, I was going to say something there, but it's obviously National Innuendo Day today or something. So I'm just going to avoid all
just
of that.
Just don't
now.
Do it.
I'm just
don't
not going to
go
do
there.
It.
Appreciate that.
Yeah. So who should we start with first?
Let Nadine tell you a little bit about what
you
Nadine
only said
does.
That because she's just taken a slurp of her coffee.
I knew she put that down.
Good. Well, let's hear from Nadine first. Nadine, why don't you give us a bit of background to you and the organisation that you've got going there, Evolution Forces Family. Tell us what it's about and give us some background to it.
Yeah, sure. So,
we've got a trainer with the microphone.
Sorry, we're all assaulting her with a microphone. We're all shoving microphones in her face and stuff.
You're warned, I'm a newbie.
Yeah.
Evolution Forces Families is basically a financial services company with a military specialism.
Oh, okay.
I've always worked in financial services, literally sort of as a Saturday girl, getting myself through college and just went straight into it, really.
Right.
And then I met my husband about 15 years ago.
And your husband's in the forces?
He is.
Which branch?
I'm sorry?
Which branch of the forces?
He's in the Royal Engineers.
Okay.
I kind of moved my career around with him as and when postings and things occurred. Did various different sort of guises of the same job for large brokerage, small brokerage, independents, estate agents, banks, etc. And then around 2008, when the recession hit and we got posted abroad, I started to kind of reevaluate what I wanted to do with the skills and the knowledge that I'd sort of put together, and really kind of took some time out and immersed myself within the community. And it was then that I started to hear lots of conversations at coffee mornings on the school run, all that kind of thing. I thought, wow, there's a lot of people here that need help and advice around their finances and they don't know where to go to.
Sure.
And a lot of that is really a knock-on effect of the mobility of our lifestyles in that you're not familiar with your local high street because you don't have one.
Yeah.
Your friends and family, who they would recommend, they're 200-300 miles away.
Yeah.
You can't ask your friends because your friends are all in the same boat because they've just moved as well.
Yeah.
And you need someone that you can trust.
Sure.
And there wasn't always necessarily someone there at that base or camp that you needed. So it was when I kind of really started to develop the idea. At the same time, I was in the banks a long time ago. I also met Rebecca Robertson, who I'm sure you're familiar with.
We all know Rebecca.
Evolution for Women.
Can't avoid her, yeah.
And we kind of put our heads together and I said, look, this is what I want to do. She was already doing Evolution for Women and she was really supportive of my idea.
Right.
And then I kind of branched off and started doing my own thing. And now here I am. Run an Evolution Forces Families, and we do a whole host of stuff, really, for the community. I run financial education workshops, we do networking groups, we do blogging, we do all kinds of stuff. And it's really, in terms of our community, that's sort of quite behind the times with technology and stuff, it's quite innovative.
So when you say community, you mean Forces Families, full stop, wherever they are?
Basically. Tri-service, and not just serving members, veteran. We're trying to reach out to the veteran community as well.
Yeah, absolutely. It's something that I'm really conscious of, aware of, and get on a bit of a soapbox about, especially if you look on social media with some of the nonsense that people post there. It's an odd thing, isn't it, for a sophisticated, advanced society, there isn't actually a lot of good knowledge about finances, just basic finances. Mm-hmm. You know, the amount of people that will borrow money on a credit card and you go, what are you doing? Mm-hmm. You know, and I've had discussions with people that have gone the other way as well, that said, do you know what, I'm never going to borrow money. And you go, no, that's very good. And they go, I'm not taking a mortgage. And you go, no, that's very bad. And they go, nope, I don't want to borrow money. And you go, no, you can borrow money on a mortgage, you just don't want to borrow it on a credit card. Basic knowledge of basic financial skills is one of those things that sadly, it's not taught anywhere anyway, which isn't surprising. But as you quite rightly said, with Forces families, there's a particular level of issue there as well, where you're constantly moving around, you don't put roots down outside of your own community, and Forces communities aren't about finances or anything like that.
I guess you also have that other consideration in lots of cases where they have they live on the patch and that sort of thing, that they don't always think about the idea of investing in property, and then they leave the army, they've not got anywhere other than rental and all that sort of thing.
And that's something that I feel really passionate about. I mean, you know, there's... How true the statistics are, I don't know, but it's quite publicised that there's a really high demographic of sort of homeless veterans in the UK. And, you know, it's my own personal belief that a lot of the problems that lead up to that point where they become homeless is due to lack of preparation when they come out, which can lead to all kinds of problems, relationship breakdown, financial difficulties, which in turn lead on to these much bigger social problems. So it's my belief to sort of start off the planning and the knowledge and the awareness as early as possible in someone's career, ready for that and to improve outcomes.
So how do you deliver these services, given that it is a geographic spread of potential clients?
So at the moment, I'm sort of touring to different major garrisons. I was in Catterick last week. I do a lot locally.
You should have gone and see my best friend up there. In fact, you probably did. We'll have a conversation later about that.
I'm not going to make any comment about you going around the country, going to various... Forces camps. I'm just,
So you've been to Catterick.
Obviously, I do a lot in Chatham, which is where we're based at the moment. We're hoping to do Hampshire. I've also got another advisor on the team who's represents the Navy, so she's in Portsmouth. So the plan is very much to grow the team. We've actually been awarded the Bronze Employer Recognition for the Armed Forces Covenant, where everybody within the team is either a military spouse or a veteran. And it's really important for me to sort of keep growing the love within, because it's not just the empathy and the connection we have with our clients.
It's understanding.
It's providing the opportunity, really.
I love businesses like yours. Because they are very highly focused on a niche, solving a problem, but solving a problem that you understand from a customer's point of view. And that's the key thing about this, isn't it? You've arrived at where you've arrived at with your business because of your own experiences being in their position.
Absolutely.
Now, you're lucky because you're an experienced financial professional and you're going, well, look, if it affects me, what about all these people that aren't experienced financial professionals? It must affect them. So I love... It's called nowadays we call it a long tail business, and you've got a long tail business that is absolutely fabulous, because you understand your customers, you know what they want, you can see the issues that need resolving, but you can do that in a conventional way, because I guess you're not off from a financial point of view, you're not offering anything that anybody else couldn't get at.
I think it's just tailoring it to what I believe are the needs of the audience. And, you know, we've adjusted things along the way to feedback.
It sounds like you do something more broad than just say this is what you should be doing with money or whatever.
Obviously, you've got the traditional financial advice. I think probably what makes us a little bit different is that I'm very lucky to work with a compliance team that are quite forward-thinking in terms of it enables me to do a lot of work remotely and digitally, which is financial services, you don't really do, generally speaking. So that allows me to work with clients that are in two different time zones or who are in different places geographically. And that happens quite a lot. It's not unusual for me to be midway mortgage application and someone gets sent off to Canada or Cyprus, and then we've got to kind of work out a way of comms.
What I wanted to ask you, Nadine, without giving away any client confidentialities, obviously, what's the primary kind of thing that you're dealing with your client base on? Is it providing mortgages, or is it just, you know, getting them out of debt, or, you know, what, or loans, or
it's so broad and I think it would probably be true for any kind of business owner to say, a lot of the time what you put out there in terms of like your promotion or your focus at that time tends to be what comes back. But at the moment it's a huge I mean, it's on the government. Individual home ownership is massive. They're really trying to promote and push it. And I think, you know, with a lot of uncertainty at the moment within the forces, I think people are now actually starting to vote with their feet a lot more with that as well.
Sure. Can we just kind of focus on that a minute? Because something Joe said earlier, which was absolutely right, and you touched on, of course, that a lot of people in the forces are given housing on a barracks or a base or an airfield or whatever branch of the services they're in. And certainly in the early days, a lot of people don't really think about homes. Are you finding that more service personnel are actually investing in their own homes, even if they don't live in them? Or is that not something that's happening?
Yeah, and there's definitely a lot more people that are certainly considering it. Yeah. Whereas before, it wasn't even on the agenda. And just that in itself is an important step. Yeah. So but at least have it in the back of your mind. We need to start looking at this, or we need to start thinking about it.
Or saving for a mortgage deposit or something.
Well, what I find interesting as well is you would imagine, my only experience of the forces really has been at the sort of major level. My daughter's at school with a number of service children, so we got to know that sort of community, and you would imagine they would, because of, you know, where they've come from and who they are and everything else, would have thought that stuff through and had done that. But actually, when I think about the people we know, they're probably in exactly the same position. You know, one or two families have bought and they've now moved away and everything else and live in their own houses, but a lot of them actually haven't still bought something. And so you sort of imagine it's
without being overly prescriptive. And my ex-wife, she was her father was in the forces and she travelled all over the world, and exactly the same kind of issue. He was a wing commander in the Air Force, you know, a really bright man, a really lovely man, but for a long time didn't think about it until quite a long time into his career. And I think a lot of that, though, is because a lot of people enter the forces for this sense of adventure, for this, you know, world travel and all the rest of it, and you don't go, do you know what, let's buy a house in Strood.
No. But
some people never think that.
What is the matter with them?
No idea.
But also, with that, it was sort of job for life stuff as well. Exactly. You know, a number of years ago, you would never have imagined that you would be making army personnel or forces personnel redundant. And so that's made a big change as well, hasn't it?
Absolutely.
The people had a plan and their plans have been changed.
And the benefits aren't as good. They've had a big review of the pension scheme. Yeah. You know, there's lots of stuff like that are making people kind of, you know, look at the bigger picture, I guess.
Absolutely.
Really helpful and really good timing to be doing that sort of thing.
Really loving what you're doing, Nadine. It's as I say, it's a perfect type of niche business, but it's a big niche as well. It's not a small niche.
We were saying earlier, wasn't it? You know, it's massive. Where do you stop with that?
Absolutely. Yeah. And for some reason, I don't know why I know this, but I just do. You mentioned about homelessness amongst ex-forces personnel. It's particularly bad in the US. In the US forces, a huge percentage of homeless people on the streets in the US are veterans. And nowadays, of course, there's quite a few disabled veterans as well, you know, with active service injuries that they've acquired while on service and supporting the country. So it is crucial that we give those people support. And in all kinds of ways, there isn't a huge amount of support out there. It's the same with jobs. You know, I know the army, for instance, because I used to work with them over in Chatham at Fort Horsted. Had a unit there whose job it was to try to help leaving members of the armed forces into work, but they kind of struggled with that. It's not easy. Although forces personnel are in great demand in civilian life because they tend to have had really superb training. They're very disciplined and they're pretty reliable as well, unlike some other people, but it's just, you know, again, it's being aware, isn't it, of what's out there, because their life has been geared to an ordered and dare I pun it, regimented way of looking at things.
Well, yeah, I mean, you say that they're in demand. I think it works the other way, that people make prejudiced assumptions that they are rigid and too much about command and control and everything else, which when you actually start to dig is not the case,
not
but
true.
That's what
no,
people
no,
think,
no,
and
absolutely.
Then it puts them off, doesn't it?
And I have to say as well, where the focus of my business has been is that whilst I still don't think there's enough, there is quite a lot out there for the actual serving person, but it's actually often the spouse or the dependent that's very much left in the dark and overlooked.
And they call them the trailing spouse, don't they, which is just
or
bad in the first place.
Which is a bit cringe.
It's all cringe, isn't it? Yeah. It's like, great, I feel really important there.
Yeah. And there were a lot of...
It could be worse, I could just call them camp followers, couldn't I?
Highly qualified, spouses, dependents, partners, you know, whatever you want to call them, that kind of follow this person around, and they deserve just as much as a positive future as everybody else.
Of course.
And they're forgotten about. So it's really, that's why I've called it Forces Families, because it's about capturing everybody within that unit that is affected by military life, really.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
I love what you're doing. We could talk about it forever, Nadine, but sadly we're kind of running out of time. Give us a shout for anyone out there that wants to find out more about the work that you're doing. How can they find you on your website, Twitter account, Facebook page, whatever you want to use?
Yeah, sure. So Twitter handle is EFF_HQ, or you can get the website, which is www.evolutionforcesfamilies.co.uk. If there is anyone of serving personnel or veteran communities, if you know anyone in the local area, I am actually doing a house buying workshop on Tuesday, the 1st of November, and that will be advertised, locations and details on the site as well.
Okay, if you let us know, we'll promote it on the website and on the show and on our social media accounts as well.
Super, thank you.
Fantastic. Nadine Monks of Evolution Forces, thank you so much for joining us.
Cheers, thank you for having me.
Pleasure. I want to talk to Nettie now.
Do you?
Yeah, not really, but
well,
I will.
No. Feelings mutual. No, see, that was a different guest again, you see, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was.
I really like, one of the things I love doing, Nadine, is finding the real diverse bits of my clients. And we've had some interesting guests, but you're the first engineer's wife.
Absolutely.
What do you reckon?
Yeah.
No, but in fairness, you know, Nadine, and I'm sure she won't mind me saying this, you know, we've worked together for the last few months, haven't we, with your business and how it works and how it grows and whatever. And we've had some really good chats. And it's all that learning curve as well about, you know, working together and working in partnership.
Absolutely.
So it really is about always surrounding yourself with people.
Yeah, absolutely. And different people doing different things.
Yeah.
And that spreads the net. It gets people involved in different things. It sparks more creativity, you know, because people could look at the kind of things that Nadine's doing and say, do you know what? I could model that in my sphere, in my field, in the area that I kind of know about. So you're absolutely right. And that's one of the many reasons we love having you on, Nettie, is that you do bring us some interesting guests.
I do.
Eventually.
Well, wait, when I turn up?
When you turn up.
I've always turned up.
That is true. That is true. I did say, to be fair, I did say to everyone, Nettie's always late. She always comes in the second half of the show.
Diva, I've told you.
I know.
I told you before. So, anyway, we want to talk about the Unconference.
We do. I was going to say, we need to talk about so many other things that you're up to, and one of them coming up is the Unconference.
It is.
So why don't you tell us all a little bit about the Unconference?
Well, I can tell you a bit, but I can't tell you too much.
It's a big secret.
The next, the annual... We can call it that now.
We can now, because it's the second year.
The annual Unconference this year is on the 17th of November, and I'm very excited about it. I'm not going to give too much away, except for the fact that I'm not making this up. Please order your tickets through Eventbrite, because we don't actually start advertising it properly until next week, and half of them have gone, and there's 110 up.
Somebody nick them.
No, they actually ordered them. But I can give you more of a feel of what we did last year, which I think will give a bit of an idea.
It was cracking.
It was brilliant. We started the show with a Grammy Award-winning singer, did we not?
Yeah, that was me.
It was not. It was someone really good. And then
and
last
they weren't
year
just singing
we
actually, happy birthday.
Last year we actually had the guy who sorted Unconferences out in the States, and he joined us on Skype, which was quite funny and... hindsight, because it was probably about 3 o'clock in the morning in Boston, wasn't it? And I'm not sure he was dressed above what we could
see.
He
was wearing his PJs.
Definitely wearing his PJs.
Yeah,
but this year we're not doing that. This year we've got some really interesting guests and workshops going on. So we've got the wonderful Steve Otterwill from Otterwill's Jewellers,
who's
done things like the Olympic torch. And I was talking about him earlier. He's just making a gold staircase for a yacht in Barcelona at the moment.
As you would.
Like you do.
Yeah.
We've got Toby Roy from Catch IT in Herne Bay.
Right.
Brilliant growing company. But we've also got the guy who put together Just Eat.
Right, okay.
As well as people like Zoe Cairns, Amy McManus, so on, doing workshops for us, and other people as well. But next month's show, which I will be on time for, is completely for the UNConference.
Fantastic,
it?
Yeah, absolutely. I chaired the UNConference last year. That was scary.
Well, one of the things that's scary is we don't know what's going
to
happen.
Just so you're just making things up as you go along, though, Paul. I can't tell
you. No, we don't make it up as we go along.
Paul does.
No, he doesn't. It really does have an agenda, but it's a very...
Yeah. But it was interesting last year because I walked out on stage to start the thing and you just didn't know who was going to be there, if anyone was going to say anything, if anybody was going to join in or do anything. We had Chris Searle, as you said, who gave us a rendition of a fabulous song.
Yeah.
And then Steve joined us from Boston because they wouldn't let him in the country.
Can't make it up.
Really. Yeah. The guy just opened a massive pharmaceutical company in Sandwich. And the government wouldn't let him into the country. Yeah, they went, oh, no, we don't want you coming here.
No,
coming here, creating jobs and making businesses. God, don't want any of that. So that's why he wasn't live, and we had to wake him up in the middle of the night and go, speak to us on Skype. But it was a fabulous event, and we've kind of grown from there because it was the first attempt last year. We didn't know what was going to happen. It was really interesting, and now we've kind of moved it on for the second in the series of annual events.
Well, I looked at the staff this week and we had 75 people go last year. Bearing in mind we've nearly got rid of that many tickets already and we haven't actually advertised yet.
Yeah.
Got rid of? That Get doesn't sound right.
I told you they nicked them.
Go on, have one. But they're only available on Eventbrite, so we know who you are if you order one.
Yeah.
And that's important as well because we want to know who's in the room because there will be certain people we may well go after to do certain things on the day.
Oh, you're being stalked. do you know any details at all yet, Nettie, whether there's costs involved?
It's free.
It's free.
It's on Eventbrite. I've sent the link through, but if you go to Eventbrite and if you put in... eventbrite.com, it's /e/UNConference 2016, or you can go onto the My Biz Canterbury website and it's all on there as well. But the tickets are free through Eventbrite, but we are going to get all the tickets gone through Eventbrite, so I'm not saying if you turned up on the day we'd turn you away, but catering,
we need to know you're coming.
We need to know who's going to be there.
Absolutely, absolutely. And you can follow, if I get this right, you can follow Start My Biz.
Yep. Or grow my biz underscore on the
Twitter.
Yeah.
Both of those are part of Canterbury City Council and they're the main sponsors of
the show.
So follow them in partnership with us and this company
called Business Bunker.
Exactly.
Have you heard of them?
No.
Paul Andrews.
No.
Strange.
No. Dodgy lot. Yeah. Don't want to go near them. So you can follow Rift Accounting or Business Bunker on the Twitter and all of those organisations will be promoting this over the next few weeks and obviously we'll all be there on the day if we manage to book our tickets.
I've got one.
Have you?
Yeah.
I haven't.
Oh, that's a shame.
Yeah. You're not going to let me in now, are you? They are going to get there and go, no, you can't come in. You've got no ticket.
Are.
Cool.
Yeah.
So what else are you up to, Nettie?
Just the usual, really.
Right, OK, just working hard.
Just working hard, doing all the non-traditional things that we do.
Yep.
As
non-traditional accountants.
As non-traditional accountants.
Right.
No, we're busy, we've got lots going on. It's an interesting time, really interesting time. What's really good for us is we've done a bit of a review recently and how many of the businesses that we're working with are growing, what they're now needing, whether that's bookkeeping services, different sort of business planning, et cetera, et cetera. And that's a good thing because if businesses are now growing, it's, you know, the economy's doing the right things.
I just want a quick rant about that.
Go on then.
Because I saw...
Well, do you not want businesses growing?
Yeah, no, I do.
That's exactly
what... And I'm just sick and tired of watching people naysay and tell us everything's going down the tubes when it isn't. It is not going down the tubes. It's going totally the other way. The only thing that's dropped is the value of the pound. That was a flash crash that caused it, and I won't go into that, but a flash crash is when a computer program goes rogue, and that's all that happened with that. Everything else is growing. The economy's growing. We're going to do some FSB news in a minute about growth in businesses. There's lots of positive things happening in the market.
There are. And I would say as well, locally, one of the biggest problems I'm coming across is actually recruiting people.
Yeah, it's really hard.
You know, people are that busy
that
actually to recruit good staff is getting harder and harder. And it's not because they're all rubbish out there. They're just not there.
Not
they're employed.
There's not enough. We have massive skill shortages.
We do.
You know that I own Jobs in Kent and we run Jobs in Kent. We have massive skill skill
and
shortages.
Apprenticeships. Yeah. You know, we've got two or three that we would love to give at Rift, and we just can't find
the what we're looking for. Targets on apprenticeships. Wait for this. Are to have 3 million new apprenticeships by 2020.
I can't find three.
I know, and it's really difficult to get people to fill those jobs.
Yeah.
I'm spending more and more time in schools talking to pupils and their parents.
Yeah, parents.
It's normally parents that are the problem. Mm-hmm. Trying to encourage them to, for where it suits their offspring, to go into apprenticeships rather than university.
Yeah.
The statistics are very clear on this now. The average earnings of an apprentice are now greater than a graduate.
Yeah.
And you don't have a debt of 40 grand either, and you get paid to learn. But you can get a degree. What most people don't realise, if you do a level 7 apprenticeship, it's a degree. It's a degree programme.
You can start an apprenticeship in your 60s.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, you don't have to be 17, 18-year-old. I don't, yeah, but not at Riff for you.
I was just about to apply. I thought she was hinting there, Bird. I thought she was going, you can start an apprenticeship at 16. We're looking for apprentices. And I was just about to dash off and apply for it.
All of that is true. All of that is true. We are looking for apprentices, and you can do it when you're 60 or older.
And you're not going to be doing it there. All of that's true.
But also you've got the levy coming in next year for employers and so on. So it's going to change the whole culture. Yeah. And I think you will be seeing people who are establishing businesses going back into apprenticeship schemes to get qualifications and so on.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's an interesting time.
Absolutely. Mm. You're quite right. Give us a shout for your website, Natty.
It's riftaccounting.com.
Fantastic. So do follow them. They've got some fabulous blogs on there as well.
I was going to say, have a good look through the blogs, have a look through some of the literature. Nadine and I were only talking about the literature today.
Yeah.
It's so useful for startup businesses.
Absolutely.
Anybody who's got questions, just anything around
Rift tweet them out a lot. We tweet them out a lot. We tweet out lots of blogs about all kinds of things, from flat rate VAT to excuses.
You love my excuses.
I do. I tweet that a lot. They're all great blogs with loads of information and different types of information about starting your own business, being self-employed, some of the basics that you need to cover for that, which are really important, and then some of the more esoteric stuff about developing your business, marketing a business, and growing a business.
Yeah. And none of it's about what the man in the pub says to do.
Yeah, exactly.
That's the useful.
That's the key thing.
That man in the pub. I'm always talking about even my clients know about the man in the pub.
He talks rubbish, that bloke.
He really does.
Netty, for the moment, thank you so much
for joining us
once again on the Business Monk Show. It's an absolute pleasure, as always, to talk to you. And I think what we'll do now is the...